right. It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we head towards another football weekend. The Colts have until Monday night. We'll have them here for you, of course, on Monday night on WGCL, along with Glass and I, and in the zone. They are at Tennessee for Monday night football. So we'll cover the Colts in detail on Monday night, but we're heading towards a Hoosier football weekend, and Michigan comes to town for homecoming, a big, big game. And let's be honest, if you're watching the Michigan Wolverines this year, you see a little bit of an opportunity, perhaps, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. Also, if you're at all a soccer fan, arguably the worst day today, or yesterday at least, in U.S. men's national soccer team history, as they will now miss out on the 2018 World Cup in Russia, the first time since 1986 that they have missed out on the World Cup play. Cannot managed to qualify from the CONCACAF region, Mexico, Costa Rica, Honduras, and Panama all involved. I believe Panama has to go on to a playoff. Is that correct, or is it Honduras?
Oh, I gave up last night about
that part doesn't matter as much as the U.S. isn't involved.
But I think it goes to your point. The U.S. had a chance to be in that playoff. There was a way out of jail, and all they needed was a simple point against a team who had lost 8 consecutive matches
in this
playoff. So you throw that in on top of that brush fire, and nothing good came out of it last night. And sadly, they're not you don't get into the World Cup because you have a lot of TV money. You don't get into the World Cup because you sell a lot of jerseys or have a lot of sponsors. You get into the World Cup because you qualify or you host.
You have to
get into the World Cup.
And we've got to play yourself. We've got what has to be the easiest or second easiest region in the whole world. One of the easiest.
Probably not the world, but we're not anywhere near the top. We're not anywhere near South America or Europe in qualifying.
I said easiest.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So you've got kind of those two, and then I would suggest ours was 3rd, and you can throw in Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, whatever that is,
right.
The Middle East and Africa. Sure, there's been teams that have beaten us from that region, us meaning Ghana, us meaning the United States of America. But it is not a complicated way to get in. They give you 3. It's a hexagonal. Hex means 6, I'm told. 6
yes.
teams.
6.
You were 5th
you
of
play
6.
10, you play 10 games.
You
yes.
were you play everybody home and away.
Yep.
You were 5th of the 6 teams, yep. And the team that beat you finished beneath you. This wasn't like Mexico.
In the final game, yes.
This wasn't like Mexico.
Honduras goes to the playoffs.
And beat everybody up, and in whatever the case would be.
Panama has never been to a
ever.
World Cup.
They have the day off
they
of
qualified
today.
3rd in this region.
They have the day off of everything today. The president said shut it down and enjoy it. It's a big deal in a lot of other countries, and when we eventually talk about it, we will mention how it's not a big deal here, and that's why the U.S. Yeah. isn't qualifying. There's too many other things to do.
Let's stick with it. We can cover IU football here in a minute. I doubt we're going to get a ton of calls on this anyways.
I don't think so.
But again, you know, the United States, it has qualified every year since 1986. Over the years, it's had a lot of different plans for how you get to the World Cup. How do you win the World Cup? All these arguments over time, you know, they get a little foolish when you miss out on the World Cup. You know, there's other countries that have had a hell of a lot more soccer experience that were, worried about missing out on the World Cup. Chile missed out on the World Cup this time around, and they've got a lot more experience with this sort of thing than we did. But this team, in the last 4 World Cups, it has stayed, it couldn't get out of the group stage once. It did 3 other times and made it to the quarterfinals the 1 year in South Korea and Japan.
2002.
So it has had, I won't call it great success in the World Cup, but it's gotten out of the group stage, gotten out of the first portion of the World Cup in 3 of the last 4 times it's been in it. That doesn't mean it's going to win it the next time it plays it, but it's got players in the program and people in the program that have done at least a little bit of something. It's not competing with Italy and Germany and Spain on a regular basis, but how that moves its way to this transitional period on the field and looks so lost like it did last night in Trinidad and Tobago. It was a wet field. It was a soaked field from several days.
Stop it. That doesn't matter.
But that's that was what I was going was. No. It shouldn't matter that you're playing on that because the host is playing on that, and it's not like we have all the same fields that they have in Barcelona and Madrid
the
to play around on
normally.
The problem
with the USA team is they have never had a chance. Or have chosen to take a chance, which I think is the probably more important way of putting it, where they have given the youth a chance to go. This team has always had a handful of 30-something guys, paper mache, duct tape, and paper clips, holding something together because it's always about we have to qualify. We have to qualify. We have to qualify no matter what the event is. You have to get in. You have to do this. You have to get out of here. Whatever the thing could be. They have never taken a time where they've – I don't want to say have torn it down and started over with a youth movement where you've had kids, maybe like in the old days where you had Beasley and Donovan that have went through three or four of these sessions.
That had some youth on it.
Where they've
it. Yeah.
played themselves into it. It's always
like, here's what's always. Mathis were on that team in 2002.
Yeah, in 2002, you've always had good goalkeepers, plural, in all of that. But it seems like the last couple cycles it's been, you got to find a way to fit in. Add your guy's name in. 35-year-old Jermaine Jones, 30-something-year-old Clint Dempsey.
Right.
He can't play in Europe. He can't play at the top, the highest level over there. But we're going to put him on the national team instead of giving a kid a shot.
We've got a lot of those.
Let him play. That's the point.
Yeah.
The point is, they're not good enough. How do you want to cut it? These aren't guys that are starring for Chelsea, Barcelona, and Bayern Munich. They're not.
Right.
So they're not. They're just simply not good enough. And the push and pull within U.S. soccer to put in who we're going to play, how we're going to play, who we're going to call up, who we're not going to call up, based on whatever it's based on. You had for years, we searched army bases to find guys with any kind of nationality.
That was the first thing Jurgen Klinsmann did, was look for a bunch of Germans.
I mean, David Ragy was way before Jurgen Klinsmann.
That's true. But Klinsmann brought in about six
Thomas
all at once.
Thomas Dooley was way before Jurgen Klinsmann.
That
so this
true.
Has been happening for years and years and years. And if you go back to the 1950 team to beat England, go look how many guys were born in America.
That's right.
None of them.
None of them.
Nobody. That ruins the Disney movie, so we won't do that. But that's happened for years. But what you've done by keeping guys like that around to sell jerseys or to sell tickets is you've pushed back the development at that level. And guys like Clint Dempsey that had to come on last night in a game where you needed pace and everything else, well, I don't know if he was the best guy for it on a wet, soggy, heavy field who hasn't been playing a lot.
Yeah.
And you could go through the roster and the lineup and do all those wonderful things and point it out. But the point is these coaches have always stuck with those ultra-hyper veterans to try and just make it one last gasp, whether it's on their watch or somebody else's watch, and you haven't seen that next group of players. You've seen one or two, but you've never seen the next group come through and make a difference.
I'd argue we were almost as young this time around as I've ever seen, at least in a couple of the games. Not as a squad. I mean, you had a 38-year-old goalkeeper. You've been playing a 33-year-old goalkeeper, neither of which are anywhere near their peaks, which were very good when they were peaks, but they're not now. You were looking at older defenders, and you still haven't figured out your inside defense. You didn't have it figured out before the last World Cup.
No.
You stuck Matt Beasler in there, and he did a pretty nice
John
job
Brooks.
For you.
We found you over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see that. Fabian Johnson.
Now, all of a sudden, the defense is back in shambles
again. Here's the problem.
But you had four of your youngest players were starters last night. I mean, I agree with you. These are the guys that are going to be there going forward. But you don't have a team of youth. And if you look at most of the World Cup teams, when you get to that age, these teams aren't full of 35- and 38-year-olds.
Nope.
They're full of 24- and 26-year-olds.
And the guys that are young that have played have done okay. They're fine. But the problem is when you don't have people that can pick passes and put their foot on the ball and control a game, doesn't matter. You can have all the training. You can have all the Nike Gatorade testing at the facility, how fast you run and how fast you sprint and how much you sleep and how much you recover. And you wear that little thing around your thing to measure your heartbeats per minute and all that stuff. It doesn't matter if you can't play football. It doesn't matter if you can't put the ball in the net. It doesn't matter if you can't break teams down when they are set up to slow you down. And it comes down to the simple tenet. There isn't talent that hasn't been developed. There hasn't talent that hasn't been given a chance. And the result of that is this. The result is you're out of the World Cup. You're out of the world. You're out. The qualifying for World Cup for 2022 in Qatar starts, I believe, at the end of 20. or late or the early part of 20.
Yeah, summer probably. Yeah.
Well, that spring will start the first session in March or whatever it is. And that's off the top of my head. But the point is, when you don't have guys doing it, how long has Michael Bradley been playing and people have been scratching their head going, you know, maybe there's not anybody else. And if there's not anybody else, that's a bigger problem. So again,
well, I'm looking at the squad right now.
You fall back into the guys like Clinton Nepsey. You fall back into the guys like Michael Bradley. You're trying to put defenders at attacking positions, attackers at defending positions. Because why? Because there's no rhyme or reason to any of this. Where are the developed talent? Where are the youth systems cranking out this talent? Just tell me if there isn't any talent. That's the easiest way to think. Because you and I have talked soccer long before everybody started talking soccer.
Right.
And my biggest complaint to you from day one is you don't have enough talent. You can bring Jurgen Klinsmann. You can bring Alex Ferguson. You name the manager.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if guys cannot execute, if they can't pass in space, if they don't have the chutzpah to take on defenders and score goals in big matches. You can train till you're purple, and it doesn't matter. The U.S.'s theory of we are going to outwork you because we don't have the talent doesn't even pay off against Panama,
Trinidad, right.
Or El Salvador, all these teams that they've struggled with in this region.
Yeah, and it's been nice for 20 years or 30 years.
But that's fine.
Here we are
that's
at the end good. Of it.
But the fine part is, let's see, Turkey's been to a semi. Mm-hmm. South Korea's been to a semi.
Yep.
Senegal's been to a semi. You can go through and find the ones, and they don't have the resources. They don't have the talent pool. They've done it.
Yeah,
they've found a way to do it. Generational players, whatever it is. The USA hasn't had any generational players in this generation since Donovan retired and Claudio Reyna hung it up. They have not been replaced.
That's correct.
And that has been their problem. Every game they win is 1-0, and it's Jenny bar the door and hold on for dear life. And when you don't have a 1-0 advantage, they struggle.
Well, I don't know what the hell happened in the first half of that game. They didn't look like they weren't even in that game or had anything
figured
out.
It was only a must-win game, so you can blame that all on the 11 players, the 22 in the squad. And
I mean, you have to.
And my buddy Pat Noonan on the coaching staff.
You have to do something.
That's what it is.
There's no good news in the near future other than the fact that there are a couple young players that were involved heavily in this round of qualifying. It didn't do them any good, but the chosen one at this point in time is not named Landon Donovan. He's named Christian Pulisic. He plays for Dortmund. I noticed looking through the roster, and I do this because I'm a nerdy dude, but you mentioned it earlier. There was only about three guys in the entire roster that was active for last night that played outside of MLS. And I, you know, in the past, I used to at least had guys here and there that might play in Europe or something to that effect. But there's very few of these guys. This guy plays in Germany. DeAndre Yedlin plays in England.
And doesn't play.
But you just don't have enough of these guys, like you said, that are good enough to play at the top levels. And there's a different speed when you watch the English Premier League and the German Bundesliga than when you're watching MLS. I barely watch the MLS for that reason. I know maybe that's anti-American, whatever the hell you want to call it.
But
it's a different level of soccer. It's a different speed.
But you've just made a point.
But it's closer in those other leagues to what you're going to see at this level. Now, maybe not the Trinidad and the Panama level, but if you want to get to the World Cup and compete and be good enough, you've got to be able to compete at those levels, and too often we don't.
Well, this cycle showed you that going with a heavy MLS backdrop team maybe isn't the answer. And if your players stay in the league because your league chooses not to sell them because you're a single entity operation, maybe that should get a different look.
Yeah.
But it's not. Here's the heart, and I was talking about this with my buddy today. He said, well, that sounds really complicated to fix. Who'd want to do that? And I said, well, that's the point.
Nobody.
The point, because no one wants to take any cash out of their pocket or risk anything.
Mm-hmm.
They've put all this money up for franchises. You know what? When people were buying MLS franchises in the 90s, they were $10 million. They're going for $250 million right now. You're making your money. You've made your money.
Yeah.
So if that's hard to tell somebody, hey, look, we don't think this is working. There is no competitive free agency. Everything goes through the league office.
Right.
So there's less risk for these teams. There's no risk for the players because they're owned by the league.
Mm-hmm.
If the league says, well, I'm not selling Clint Dempsey unless I get a ridiculous price and then bring him back, whatever the case may be, it's not how the rest of the world does anything.
Right.
It's not how the rest of the world trains. It's not the youth program setup is not anywhere near it. There are so many things that are off base with this. It shouldn't come as any surprise that this doesn't work. Your work ethic doesn't outbid talent. People laugh at guys like Andrea Pirlo and Steven Gerrard and et cetera that come over here and don't run box to box because they're 35 years old and they say, well, they're just coming over here and stealing a paycheck.
Right.
Well, just because you don't run box to box doesn't mean, or defend, doesn't mean that you can't do it. When Andrew Pirlo knocks the ball 60 yards around and no one takes the ball off his foot, and when whatever the case is, well, he can control a game. He doesn't have to do it because he's super athlete, NBA, NFL
guy.
He
knows what he's doing. It's not about just running around.
It's nuance. Yes. It's how to play the game. And if you have a bunch of tall, fast guys that run around and they're faster than everybody else, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not winning games for you. So what do you do? That's the million-dollar question. Where do you go from here? It's probably good that these things happen. Sneaking by and winning your group and getting into the next round kind of papers over the cracks a little bit sometimes. You say, oh, this is great. We're in the knockout phase of the World Cup. Well, who doesn't want to be in the knockout phase? That's like when they're hanging a banner when Bob Bradley won the group.
Yeah,
because Landon Donovan scored 4 minutes an extra time against Algeria. You know, they didn't.
Hey, it counts.
It does count, but point is, then you get beat by Ghana.
Well, right.
That's
better than missing.
It is better than missing, and those players that won the bigger games, so to speak, aren't there anymore.
Right.
And they haven't been replaced.
Right.
And if you want to say, hey, look, France missed the 94 World Cup. England missed the 94 World Cup. France went on to win the 98 World Cup in Paris, mm-hmm. the 2000 Euro. Yeah, let's France.
Stop. Yeah, let's stop.
Well, exactly right. But some of the argument is, well, it's a down cycle. It's a down five-year period in talent.
It's not a down cycle.
Well, the point is it can't be a down cycle.
It's a down cycle right now in your defense. That's where. I mean, that's the glaring.
How many goals do they score?
If you watch these – watch this. I mean, you gave up two. I know one of them is yourself, but you shouldn't give up one yourself on your – I mean, you shouldn't. To Trinidad.
Then score three against a team that's lost eight straight.
Yeah.
But you didn't have anybody to bring on to do that.
Yeah,
Bobby Wood's a nice player. Christian Pulisic is a nice player.
We're going to be miserable all night long.
Well, it's not going to change anyhow, and that's the whole deal, because right now there aren't a bunch of kids. You know, maybe I'll ask Griffin Dorsey after the IU game tonight. He was just over with the U18s. Mm-hmm. Any of you guys get a chance to get to the big guy call-ups, or are you just down here?
Right.
You're already late.
Yeah.
If those guys aren't up there by then.
At least being involved.
Unless it's a late bloomer
kid
that grows 3 inches or all of a sudden figures something out, changes positions, that's the issue. You're talking about guys in the MLS that aren't doing anything in MLS, but they're good enough for the national team.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Right.
If you look at MLS rosters, there's plenty of guys from South and Central America on those rosters because, number one, they're either better than what we have or they're better than what we have.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys playing in our league where we keep our players are hurting the development of our players to get anywhere forward.
Right.
So the whole system is broken. It's broken in pieces.
Well, I don't know if MLS is supposed to be our, you know, the thing that solves it all for us. I'd still rather see more of them overseas where, you know.
You can't make it on your MLS team.
Well, but that's the point.
That is the point. You're not good enough.
You need to be good enough to be able to compete in those leagues. I mean, I think that's what determines it, doesn't it? Oh, man. We'll talk some IU football here.
Let's get back to the other football.
When we get back to the break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Some programming notes for you. Tomorrow night, we pick the NFL back up. 8 o'clock is pregame for Thursday night football. Philadelphia is at Carolina. That's a very good matchup tomorrow night. Friday night, we've got South's senior night down on the South Side with Perry Meridian coming to town. Chalk Talk is 6:30 and kickoff 7 o'clock for that game. On Saturday, we've got college football. 3 o'clock pregame for Oklahoma at Texas, or versus Texas, rather. That's a neutral site. Then we've got a triple header on Sunday. Chicago is at Baltimore starting around 12:30. That's a pregame for that. And then we move over to Pittsburgh at Kansas City. The night game is the Giants at Denver. And then Monday night we'll be back with you until from 6 to 7:30, where Bob Lamy will take over. Colts are at Tennessee for Monday night football.
And tonight at Bill Armstrong Stadium, your number one ranked Indiana Hoosiers. If you want to watch some real soccer, go watch these guys play.
29. The other Indiana football.
30 goals for, 2 against, scoreless, 599 straight minutes. Kentucky comes in 19th. That's a rivalry that dropped off the schedule here for the last 3 or 4 years. So they're back and they're ranked. So should be a tasty one at Armstrong tonight. And then they're back 3 o'clock on Sunday with nationally ranked Ohio State. Next four games, three of them against ranked teams. Indiana, again, right in the hunt in the Big Ten. Second place behind Maryland. Maryland's 4-0-2. Indiana and Michigan State 3-0-2. All those teams are ranked nationally in the top four. So it's very top-heavy at the top of the Big Ten. A quick baseball update for you as well. In Chicago, bottom of the sixth, two outs. Steven Strasburg has given up just three hits and struck out 9 Northsiders. But, hey, the Cubs are no hit in their first two wins of the series after 5 innings. So what do you nothing to worry about because the lead's only one. 1-0 as the Cubs look to clinch. Yankees in Cleveland tonight, 8 o'clock. That is Game 5. That is an elimination game. CC Sabathia and Corey Kluber, your pitching matchup there. So you're covered on the baseball beat.
In the other IU football, the football Hoosiers have homecoming this weekend, and Michigan is coming to town. Michigan reeling off of a 14-10 home loss to one of their rivals, the one they take less seriously than Ohio State, Michigan State.
Bad
Michigan
idea State, if you look up that record recently.
Yes, it is. Michigan State takes it very seriously. In fact, it may have been our current running backs coach Mike Hart that set off Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio on a decade-long dominance. 8-3, I think, is the Michigan State record over Michigan. Of late, they have taken over that rivalry recently, but all that's not our problem. We get both those two teams the next 2 weeks. This week, it's the Wolverines, noon on this weekend here in Memorial Stadium for homecoming. Michigan, very defense heavy. You want to talk about top heavy. They're heavy on the defensive side, not so much on the offensive side. Quite bad on the offensive side, in fact. So we're looking at the Hoosier matchups. Let's cover the defensive side of things first. And we did a little bit of this on Monday, but the Hoosier defense is playing well so far this year. It's played, you know, a couple triple option teams, so it's kind of hard to get too gung-ho about what has happened in those games, but it has played well. It's played disciplined. And then it's also given up over 45 points to both Ohio State and Penn State. But the Michigan offense, this Michigan offense is not a comparison even to those two offenses. That is the good news, is if you're giving up 40 points to this Michigan offense, we've got a whole different discussion we're going to be having next week, because it's just not good enough. It's not good enough at the offensive line. It's not good enough at all of its skill positions. It's not good enough at its quarterback, which is what matters most. It's banged up at its quarterback. It's very young at its skill positions. It's got a couple running backs that I think most people would like and some wide receivers people would take into their program, but none of these kids are making plays for them, and their quarterback's getting killed, and their offensive line is getting drilled. For the IU defense, they ought to be licking their chops at this point in time, because they ought to dominate the day. And if you want to get a big win over an opponent you don't win very often, IU defense has got a perfect opportunity to keep them not only in the game, but maybe even score some of their own points off of this. Should be IU's defense day when we're all said and done, and then whether the offense can do anything against the Michigan's defense is going to be the question.
Well, and throwing the kicking game, because I don't think in today's day and age, all three phases, you watch all these highlights, you watch all these games, you're seeing returns, you're seeing poor punts, you're seeing poor coverages. Mm-hmm. You have to do everything well. And when you want to break through, and when you want to find this upset of a pretty solid proportion, and just because based on ranking or whatever else, Indiana's margin of error, in my opinion, doesn't allow them to have one of those phases, have the night off. They can't have an average night from their defense. They can't have an average night from their kicking game or return coverage or whatever it is, return game, return coverage, because there's just too many players that Michigan has. What Michigan tries to do and tries to do annually is wear out the guy they're playing. Mm-hmm. All they do is they throw wave after wave after wave of 4- and 5-star recruits at you. Mm-hmm. And if you're man enough to stand up with them at the end and take a shot at them, which Indiana has had a couple times to knock them out, and they can't. Mm-hmm. They couldn't knock them out. Yep. But they've seen it. It's kind of like watching the Rocky trilogy. It's kind of like, you know, getting closer. But at some point, you're going to have to knock them out, because they don't go away. 4th and 7. We talked about that on a Monday.
Yep.
Boom, touchdown, get you in overtime, beat you in overtime. Why? You gave them life. You let them off the mat. You got to knock them out when you can. But that's hard to do. Why? Depth. Depth, depth, depth. What does Tom Allen talk about almost after every single game? Either we're trying to develop depth, we need more depth, and we need our depth to play better.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan has a little bit of a luxury in that, because they have, Dave, it's like the soccer discussion. They have more players, and they have better players.
That's right.
So what do you have to do? Just like Coach DeBoard and Coach Allen said, it's a challenge to the coaching staff to out-coach them, It's a challenge to the players to outplay them. In football, you kind of do have that a little bit where it's a little different from soccer. You can have that little bit of a tough guy play harder than you mentality because we're taking it more seriously perhaps than you are.
It happens all the time.
And those are some advantages Indiana has, and they're going to have to find a way to score some points because, number one, Michigan doesn't give up a lot of points. They don't score a lot. That's the other good news. But the defense in the depth, in the numbers, and we've heard this, the secondary is fine. I don't have a problem with the secondary for Indiana. Mm-hmm. I think that is the deepest part for sure. But you put the defense out there time and time again, three and out after three and out, Dave. That fourth quarter has been where the cliff's been. You get to the third quarter about halfway through and boom. It's been right off the cliff against usually the deeper, better teams.
Well, that was interesting that I found about this past week. I mean, you knew you're going to have a new quarterback in Peyton Ramsey. What was the strategy going to be? What was it going to look like? And that was why it was interesting to me. You're using that game against Charleston Southern as your dress rehearsal for Peyton Ramsey and that offense going into the Michigan game. And what did you see? You saw pace at a blistering pace, in fact. It was very, very, very fast. They haven't gone that fast for a couple years, really. Now, maybe in a two- or three-play spurt, but not the way they did it this past weekend. So that tells you they're probably going to throw that out there against Michigan. You don't dress that up as a dress rehearsal and then just not do it at all and come out with something completely different. I suppose you could, but that wouldn't make a hell of a lot of sense to me. But it was interesting to me that they would look at it that way because going against a good Michigan defense, the idea would be we want to keep them off balance with the pace. Makes sense. Give it a try. Sure. Let's see how it goes. The problem you could have with that is how quickly, as you said, you're coming off the field and your defense is going right back out there. The good news is when it goes right back out there, it's not going against JT Barrett and J.K. Dobbins and, you know, that offensive line. It's not. It's going against an offense, a Michigan offense that our defense ought to be able to control to a large degree. But as you mentioned, I mean, if it's going to be out there 35 minutes of game time, does it wear down? Because the one thing that Michigan can do if it gets something going, it can run the ball a little bit. It's got some top-end running backs.
Last year, the game's tight in the third quarter. It starts to snow.
Mm-hmm.
And can't get a third and one, can't get a fourth and one. Mm-hmm. Michigan gets the ball back, and all of a sudden it's boom, 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 right at you.
Yep.
Right at you. Carries, no trickery. No chicanery, mm-hmm. No tomfoolery, no bait and switch. You know you're going to get a steady diet of, you better stop us. It's coming right at you. And it's the when. Get a lead, make them chase. Boy, wouldn't that be great? Put that offense behind the clock. Put that offense behind the sticks. How about this? That they've been in the red zone 15 times and have 5 touchdowns. Hey, do that twice. That's 6 points.
That's right.
You get a touchdown, that's 7 points. And an extra point, obviously. But that's the deal. This is not some kind of hyper offense. But what it is they have no problem just running at you and running at you. Even in the Michigan State game, it's 14-10. They've got the ball. They don't have to do anything out of the ordinary because
right.
they know
right. they can run their offense.
A touchdown is all they need to take the lead. Mm-hmm. So it would be great to see this defense force some takeaways. Michigan has 12 fumbles on the year, but they've only lost 4. So that's loosey-goosey. Mm-hmm. 12 fumbles is a lot of fumbles at this time in the season.
Yeah.
How many games they played? 5?
Not if they've only lost 4, but you're exactly right.
But I mean, you're dropping the ball, kicking the ball around.
Yeah, right.
And maybe some of that problem is quarterback and quarterback exchange and playing in a wet field mm-hmm. against Michigan State. But you saw them carrying the ball like a loaf of bread, the tight end scrambling for extra yards. Michigan State safety came right behind him. Bam! Yep. Knocked it right out.
Quick example, Ohio State has 35 touchdowns to date. Penn State has 28 touchdowns to date. Michigan has 10. That's just total offense. I mean, just to throw out some numbers about what their offense does and doesn't do. I mean, this is the team you're going up against. It does not compare offensively, firepower-wise, to those teams.
No, it doesn't. So you have to find a way to take chances. And the defense that didn't have any takeaways against the Georgia Southern team or against a Charleston Southern team, now we're expecting just to stand up and start ripping the ball away and taking it away. Well, you can't stop doing that. It's not after 5 games you say, well, we've only had one really good game at this. Let's shift
try
our
harder.
Total mentality that we've been trying to do for the last year and a half. That's not going to work. You have to stick with what you are. So that's the good news. Does Indiana have enough playmakers on defense to stick with Michigan? I think absolutely they do.
Yeah, no question.
The defensive line rotation, as we saw at Penn State, wasn't poor.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't gashed. They were playing 7 guys up front.
Yeah.
Minor and Johnson and Stahl.
Yeah,
you can
absolutely.
Just go through them all.
Yep.
And Robinson and Hoff. Hoff's going to be back, so that's good. You have to find ways to plug those holes. But what Indiana's defense can really help with, get the shutout out of your mind. It's not going to happen. That's fine.
Yeah,
hold this team to field goals.
Yeah.
Make them kick field goals. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I just told you, they're not scoring a lot of touchdowns. That's in five games.
And if they're getting in the red zone and kicking, well, if they make them kick field goals. And that's the thing. That in this day and age is a moral victory, in my opinion. You hold a team to a field goal in college football, it seems like everybody scores on every other play.
Right.
How nice it would have been at Penn State to hold some of those drives to field goals instead of touchdowns.
Absolutely.
You're still in a game. You're still sniffing around a game.
I mean, field goals or turnovers. I mean, either one of those, you're saving yourself points.
So. Exactly. And any time a field goal happens, you have to have a good snap, you have to have a good hold and a good kick. And that's a lot of things that can go wrong. It's like the old Woody Hayes thing about why you don't throw the football, because if you do it, three things happen, and two of them are bad.
Yeah.
That's part and parcel of it. Good news, bad news, it's going to be 81 degrees on Saturday and plenty of sunshine. We'll see who's in better shape. This is not football weather in the middle of October. And all the strength and conditioning that you do all season long, that could come into play as well. But when we come back, Indiana's offense, we can't sit here on Monday and say, 203 yards, that was good, but not good enough. That's not going to do it, I don't think, in a game like this, unless you have a plethora of special teams plays, defensive touchdowns, or whatever it's going to be.
Look, the IU offense has had some struggles in a couple games. Now, granted, it's Ohio State and Penn State. You're talking about top 10 teams here. We don't want to overplay that, but it's got to show up. It's got to score some points, as you said, and we'll talk about that here against a very good defense when we get back from the break.
A very good defense.
812-333-2665 is our phone number. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Give you your programming notes here real quick. Tomorrow night, NFL returns. 8 p.m. is pregame for Philadelphia at Carolina on Thursday Night Football. Friday night, high school football returns with South hosting Perry Meridian. That is senior night for the Panthers. Chalk Talk 6:30 and kickoff 7 o'clock for that game. Saturday, we've got college football. Oklahoma and Texas play in their annual rivalry game on a neutral field. 3 o'clock is pregame for that. Have a NFL triple header on Sunday. 12:30 is pregame for Chicago at Baltimore. It's followed by Pittsburgh at Kansas City. And the night game is New York Giants at Denver. And then we'll be back with you Monday. And following us will be Colts at Tennessee for Monday Night Football. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Talking IU football. They host Michigan for homecoming this weekend. We'll bring in our friend John.
Hello, John.
What's happening?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Okay, I have a question. What is the status of Ian Thomas for this game Saturday? Do you happen to know by any chance?
No.
I don't think anything publicly has been released, but watching every play, I don't remember him taking any violent hit.
I don't remember seeing anything.
Or him limping off. It could have been a practice deal as well. So he's a big piece of Indiana's puzzle, and that's going to be an interesting part of the playbook that we didn't get a chance to see last week, because all we've heard from Coach DeBoard is he's a nightmare matchup. Michigan State might have a few athletes, but Ohio State didn't have any to slow him down.
Yeah.
That can stretch the field for Peyton Ramsey, clear out some space underneath. So I'm with you. I hope he's playing, because that's a 6'5", 255-pound target of bigness that just blends right in with those Michigan defenders.
Yeah, right.
Well, he's a very athletic guy, and they didn't need him against Charleston Southern, so I understand holding somebody out. Discretion is the better part of valor when it comes to an injury or a minor injury. But if they're going to beat Michigan, the two things they got to do is they got to win the turnover battle, and Peyton Ramsey's going to have to make plays down the field to throw the ball, because they're going to put one-on-one coverage on these receivers
right,
and just try to stuff the running game. And Indiana's got the wideouts, Timmy Cobbs and Taysir Mack, and if Donovan Hale comes back, I don't know if he will or not.
I think he'll be back.
Those guys are going to make plays, huh?
I think Hale will be back as well.
Good, because those guys are going to have to make plays, and they can make plays. You know, Timmy Cobbs, I think, made himself a bunch of money in the Ohio State game, because Denzel Ward is a guy that's going to be drafted pretty high, and he just wore Denzel Ward out. He had no chance against Timmy Cobbs. So they're going to have to make plays like that. And Ian Thomas, like you said, would free a lot of that in the middle of the field up, because someone's got to run with him, and they got to stay, and you know, putting a little safety on him, is taxing putting a linebacker on him. Can he run with him all the time? He runs like a deer. So
I think your other point is just as valid, because when you talk about Mack, Hale, Cobbs, and Thomas, that's 6'4" and up, or 6'4" across
big
the
guy.
Board at
mm-hmm.
least.
Yeah.
Those are big targets. The first and best thing you want to a guy that hasn't played a ton of college snaps is give him big targets to throw at. I don't know if you want – I mean, I understand Luke Timian provides a service running underneath routes. I get all that. But when things get hairy, it's nice to be able to look and see, hey, this is going to be a little bit high, but I've got the better chance here of my guy going up and getting it.
Yeah.
And if you're going to make mistakes, make them that way where only your guy can get them, and then hopefully John will keep you in that turnover battle.
Well, Indiana has enough playmakers on offense of different sorts that it should be able to make some plays if the ball can get to them and if there is some degree of a distraction in a running game. And you know, this might be where Peyton Ramsey's legs finally – well, not finally, but they really can make a major difference, because Michigan is not going to have to commit five and six guys to the quarterback just simply to pass to rush the passer. They're happy to sit back and let Peyton Ramsey try to find a zone to throw into or something to that effect and force him to make tough throws. Can he do it? And can he make them pay occasionally if they do flush him out of the pocket? That's where he can make a big difference, because the minute you pull off two or three little first down runs out of the quarterback position, whereas Richard Lego can't do that, then all of a sudden the defense has got to pay a little bit more attention to the whole field, not just their guy running downfield.
And John, also a big deal, I think, with Mike Majette being back, he is the pass catching option out of that backfield that adds one more thing that Michigan's defense is going to have to worry about.
That sounds good. Yeah, I was just curious, because Thomas looked to me from the games I've watched. I've gone to two of them at home, and I watched another one on TV. He seems to be a guy, an X factor, that could be a really tough matchup for people to have to cover for a whole game, because he can run and he seems to be able to catch the ball. So when you've got a new quarterback you're bringing in and you're playing a team that you haven't beaten in 30 years, you wonder, can they get this job done? I mean, he would be a safety valve the whole game long for this team. And he can make big plays, too. He can take a ball, 15-yard pass, and make it.
Yeah, we've seen that.
They don't use him like a traditional tight end. I mean, they use him like another wideout.
I see that.
Yeah.
And that is the good news, John. But I think, just like everybody else, once they come out for warm-ups on Saturday, if he's full dress ready to go, that's when we're going to go next. And they're not going to announce anything to give Michigan any heads up on that, obviously. So hold your breath for Saturday morning. Make sure you eat a good breakfast and have the energy for the upset.
Let's hope so. It's about time. Long overdue. I'll let you get back to your analysis, guys. Thanks.
Thanks John. Good job as always. 1987. He's not wrong.
No, we appreciate it. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. I mean, the quarterback is always the X factor. He always is. And this one, Peyton Ramsey, he's got legs to move around. He had 32 yards rushing on 12 carries against Virginia. 16-20 passing. I'm looking for comparable, teams, because Georgia Southern and Charleston Southern are not. Ohio State, he came in for one series. He had three rushes for 10 yards, maybe two series, could be two series. 2 for 3 throwing it for 10 yards. I mean, it was completely unmemorable, and he didn't come back in the game because, let's be fair, Richard Lego was having a great game, and the kids out wide were making plays, and it was them making that happen.
65 passes that
yeah.
day.
So, it would have been nice to have more of a running game, but, we didn't need Peyton Ramsey in that game and stuck around for a while. What it means going forward, again, I look at the Penn State game more so, because it's that second half that worries the heck out of me, because there just wasn't much there. There was an interception early, and then there just wasn't much that happened in that game.
The optimist in me will point out.
That's a comparable defense.
Yeah.
And that's the second half, when maybe you got a little tape on Peyton Ramsey now all of a sudden. Not a lot, but a little bit. And you get to see what the guy can do, and you can throw some looks at him. And you're going to get a bunch of looks from Michigan. They're not going to sit back in one defense all day.
And the good news is that's another game of experience, another game of film, and another week of practice under his belt this week as the starter. And you can't give guys experience on the sideline. You can't give them a book and say, hey, read this. You can't imitate that defense. Again, he's no longer on the scout team. He played against Indiana's first team defense last year. He talked about that earlier in the week, saying how that was beneficial, him and Mack playing against the first team defense last year. He kept you sharp, kept you going, kept you moving. But each week, I think he's going to get better, and I think that's why he's been put in this position. I think they've seen him evolve since the spring, where some argued he was the best quarterback in the spring game. He's evolved through fall camp, and obviously he's evolved the position where they've thrown him the keys to the car and said, hey, you got your license, let's go.
Right.
So I understand what you're saying, and I don't think you're wrong. That's not where I'm going with this, but I think we have to let it happen and see what he has learned from all that film, what he's learned from leading the practice, what he's learned from being the number one guy. I don't think we should expect regression. I think it's a more difficult defense, no question about that. Game's going to be faster, how he handles it. But, you know, four more games down the line, three more games down the line, I would think it's going this way, the up direction than it is wiggling. I don't think in this game he's going to throw – I haven't seen the decision-making of him where it looks like it's going to be three picks and two fumbles. I don't see that just yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't been loosey-goosey. He hasn't been all over the map.
It's different.
It's a different challenge. You're right.
I've watched first-time quarterbacks step in at the beginning of their career.
We went to this with Richard Leggo last year.
Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, early
five interceptions against Wake Forest last year.
The guy has 1 year worth of Division I defense, as you mentioned, and it's all scout team work. And now he's got, you know, five games of limited activity and one against a 1AA team. I've seen this several times. I like what I see out of the kid. Okay, this is the way forward. I want to make that real clear. Richard Leggo needs to play. This offense becomes more diverse with him in there. It becomes even more diverse if the offensive line grows up quickly and they can run the ball out of some of the traditional stuff, and they can get their running backs going more. So you're not going to go put your 6'2" quarterback out there and get him killed all day long. But his ability to make some plays is going to help this offense for the next several years. What concerns me and what I've seen right now is everything that he does well is within this vision area immediately in front of him, from that quick slant into about 10 to 15 yards deep. Everything, as long as everything's within that box, he right now looks fantastic. The problem you're going to have is they're not going to give him that box. They are going to be all over him. They're going to be all over man coverage. They're going to take away all those slants as much as they possibly can. They're going to make him go outside of the numbers with the ball, which he, by the way, has not shown an ability to do consistently. That doesn't mean he can't do it, but he hasn't done it consistently. Almost threw a pick against Charleston Southern trying to throw a 20-yard pass down the field. So that's what Michigan is going to force him to try to do. Can he do it is the entire question. The reason this is the big deal to me is that this game is winnable. This game is winnable if this kid makes a few plays. It is. He's got potential to do it. And they can beat Michigan if he does. So it's like that close. Can he do it is the question. What do you think?
Will you see Richard Leggo in this game?
Prediction?
Will you see Richard Leggo in this game?
Yes, at some point I think you will. It's too good of a defense right now to think Peyton makes it, in my opinion. I think it's going to be very hard on the kid.
Griffin Oaks wins at the buzzer. Why not?
I like it.
That's where it's going to happen.
This is a winnable game. Why not? Let's say it. Hoosiers 21-17. Why not? Let's give it to them. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll return Monday. All kinds of football all weekend long. You've been in the zone.